This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Mother-in-law.
She worries me so.
Mother-in-law,
mother-in-law, if she leave us alone, oh, we would have a happy home. Sent from down below.
Mother-in-law,
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 mother-in-law, Satan shouldn't be her name. To me, they're about the same.
Mother-in-law,
mother-in-law, every time I open my mouth, steps in right to put me out. How could she stoop so low?
Oh, yeah, there used to be mother-in-law jokes. I don't think they're big anymore, but boy, mother-in-law jokes were big for comedians for a long time. Rodney Dangerfield, and who's that guy? That Jewish comedian. I cannot think of his name. Boy, he used mother-in-law jokes all the time. Good morning. We're not a mother-in-law joke, we hope. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. Thank you for joining us. We are here 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, to bring you the libertarian point of view, perspective, whatever you want to call it, filter, on what's going on in the news. And we're going to be talking in a few minutes with Alicia Dern. She is an attorney. She is running for the vice presidential spot on the Libertarian Party ticket. Why does she want to do that, right? We will ask her. Also, a Cuban-American filmmaker says the U.S. is turning into a communist country. Do you agree with that? We're going to discuss it. And a Confederate monument dedicated to Kentuckians who fought in the Civil War is being moved out for politically correct reasons. We're going to talk about that as well. And in our ultimate top 10 list, the top 10 worst song titles. Yeah, maybe you can think of a few before we do it. The top 10 worst song titles. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew the Master Barber in the Columbia Plaza for the best haircut in North Pinellas County. Please get there. The Columbia Plaza is just west of Highway 19 on State Road 580. Best haircut you'll probably ever get with a great price. Also, Arms for Defense in the Columbia Plaza. You want to get the best gun at the best price? Paul, the owner, will sit down with you, decide exactly what kind of a gun is best for you, and make sure you get the right training, which is just as important. Arms for Defense. Please call 727-375-GUNS, 727-375-GUNS. Well, tomorrow, will it be the last hurrah for Ted Cruz? Poor Ted Cruz. I'm starting to feel a little bit sorry for him. He admits he is throwing all the eggs, the kitchen sink, and his mother-in-law into this fight in Indiana. But a new poll says you ain't going to win. Trump is leading him by 15 points in Indiana. Now, Indiana is supposed to be like a conservative state. And, in fact, the former governor of Indiana, Mike Pence, gave him, I guess they're calling it a lukewarm endorsement, after waxing flowery about Donald Trump for about 2 minutes, he said, oh, by the way, I guess I'll support Ted Cruz. So that's called having your cake and trying to eat it at the same time, Mr. Pence. But, of course, Cruz jumped on and said, hey, I'm getting all of these people. He didn't get Bobby Knight, though. Bobby Knight, the former coach of Indiana, I'm not surprised, actually. Bobby Knight and Donald Trump remind me about, you know, they sort of have what? The same kind of in-your-face personality. Ed's agreeing with that. Bobby Knight was probably, in many people's opinion, the very best, one of the very best college basketball coaches. It's funny because he had a completely different temperament than John Wooden. But both of them demanded respect. So anyway, here comes the Indiana primary. And if Cruz loses on this, do you think he's going to back out? He says he's barnstorming the state. He says, I'm in a bus with my family doing everything we can. Well, you know, he's won 10 states, but nothing since Wisconsin. And that goes back to early this month. Well, no, early April. This is May already. Trump came back, sort of, you know, after Wisconsin. You know how he went back? Of course, he won New York convincingly, and he's sort of been back on the rise again. So there you go. Everybody's looking to the Midwest tomorrow. Now, speaking of the Midwest, just what you need in Detroit. When everything else has gone wrong, why don't we completely ruin the city by having all of the teachers go on strike again? That's great. That's great for the kids. Can you imagine the chances of minority kids in the city of Detroit growing up to do well? I would say slim and none. More than 40 public schools in the city of Detroit are going to be closed today. The teachers' union has decided to do a sick-in. Now, they cannot legally strike anymore there. So what they do is they call in sick. That's what policemen used to do in Chicago. They used to call it the blue flu when they were upset with their pay or some other benefit or problem. They would not go to work. It was called the blue flu. The move by the Detroit teachers under the Detroit Federation of Teachers was announced yesterday. This is coming after the district says we don't have enough money to continue to pay teachers this summer without further funding from the state. Now, the governor signed into law emergency funding. It keeps the district operating through the end of the school year. Well, I don't know. I would think if you were a teacher, you understand there isn't any money, but you are going to get paid eventually. Now, here's what the teachers' union says. We recognize that this puts Detroit's parents in a difficult spot. The district's broken promises, however, and their gross negligence leave us no choice. Yeah, you have plenty of choice. You just decided that you're going to let the kids. It's never the kids. You ever notice when these teacher strikes occur? Do you ever remember when it's, no, the kids are being educated just, is it ever because the kids are not being educated well enough? No, it's always because they need more money. Anyway, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, Alicia Dern is running for vice president on the Libertarian Party ticket, trying to get that nomination. We will talk to her.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Gentlemen, if you're looking for the best haircut at the best price in Tampa Bay, look no further than Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580. That's just west of US 19 in Clearwater. Andrew and Candy will see to it that you get exactly the cut you want. And if you remember how the barbershop used to be, where you were as much as a friend as a customer, then this is the place for you. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580, just west of US 19. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
I don't think it's a truck at all. I think we just found a Transformer.
This is Optimus Primer Button, leader of the auto part junkies. And I'm calling on all auto parts junkies to listen to nostalgic radio and cars every Tuesday at 7 p.m. here on Tantalk. This is Optimus Primer Button. If you don't tune in, it will be the end of the world.
Hi, this is Misty Wells, your host of Let's Take It Outside. Join me every Friday, 5 p.m. on your ride home. We'll talk about getting outside, getting dirty, fishing, hunting, diving, and camping. Whatever you like to do when you take it outside. Spend your afternoons with me, Misty Wells, Friday, 5 o'clock, right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back. Thank you for joining us this Monday, and we're delighted to have Alicia Dern join us. She is an attorney and is running for the vice presidential candidacy on the Libertarian Party. Alicia, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Good morning. First of all, let's talk a little bit about your background. You have been running an attorney's, you could call it attorney's conglomerate, Bellatrix PC law firm. You also served as former Libertarian Party candidate Gary Johnson. You served under him in his campaign for the presidency in 12 and 16. So tell us, why would you like to be on the Libertarian Party ticket?
Well, I see a great opportunity this year to really spread the message of liberty to a wider audience. You know, I'm concerned about where our country is going, and that's why I got involved in Libertarian Party politics in 2012. I work every day helping small businesses try to get around or get through the maze of regulations. And, you know, I just have this calling to try to help small businesses in particular. I really get, you know, for us to really promote small government, reduce regulations, because that's what's best for the economy and what's best for small businesses.
Right. So perhaps the small business area is the biggest thing on your radar screen as far as running?
Well, I mean, there's obviously several issues that are important to me, but I would say, yes, the business regulations, because of the economic impact, and I think that the economy really is the biggest issue that's driving this election.
Mm-hmm. You know, the Libertarian Party always stands for less government. You would think these days that enough people would pick up their heads and go, you know what? They're right. We do need less government. I'm going to be talking later about a story. A Cuban-American filmmaker says that America is turning into a communist country, in his opinion. He was from Cuba. And so perhaps he can see some of the things. Do you have a sense that maybe we are starting to move more socialistic? What is your sense of the mood of the country?
I definitely believe that we are moving towards a more socialistic setup from a legal standpoint and an economic standpoint. And I don't know that that the country has adopted socialism as our ideology. I just think that it's a slow creep towards that. You know, and I definitely see that with respect to, for example, wage regulations and how those are applied to businesses. And this idea that the employee or the worker needs to be protected, and that there's almost no thought to the employer or to the business owner or the entrepreneur and awarding them or rewarding them for the risks that they're taking. And that, you know, fundamentally is a sort of a socialist idea.
Mm-hmm. So let's get back to the Libertarian Party candidacy. Who else is running, especially for president? Anybody in particular that you would endorse? How does that work?
Well, I'm not endorsing anybody right now. You know, the nice thing about the Libertarian Party is that the vice president and the presidential candidate run separately.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that gives the delegation the opportunity to choose who they think is best for the ticket and who represents them, as opposed to being told who is the running mate.
Right.
So right now I'm running independently. I think we've got some great presidential candidates, and I'm looking forward to whoever will be nominated and hopefully running alongside them.
And when will the, is that going to be in Orlando, and when will that be?
Yes, it's in Orlando. It's Memorial Day weekend. I think it starts May 26th, May 27th, sometime around there.
Mm-hmm. So it's coming up fairly soon. In the meantime, are you barnstorming the country? How are you advertising? You know, it's, let's be honest. I mean, it's tough for a third party to win, as we both know. So are you making any effort to, say, get around talking different groups, or are you doing mostly radio interviews like this, or how do you handle it?
Well, I have a combination strategy. So one of the things that we're doing is we've created some really great videos that we've posted on YouTube and Facebook that are right now speaking to libertarians, but really I think will have a more general appeal. So we're trying to get some of those things to go viral to explain libertarianism and why libertarianism is good and really address some of the stereotypes that libertarianism has. So that's one strategy. I am doing some traveling, going around to speak to some different groups, and of course I'm doing media, and hopefully we'll have an opportunity to do that beyond this month. Right now we're focused on, of course, the nomination process and talking to delegates and to the Libertarian Party in general. And then after the nomination, should I get it, then I will have a more expansive campaign to talk to the American voter.
Sure. We're talking with Alicia Dern. She is an attorney and a candidate for vice president on the Libertarian Party ticket. She also served as general counsel to another presidential candidate in the Libertarian Party in past years, Gary Johnson. So, Alicia, you know, we do a libertarian show here, and yet I see that for whatever reason, you know, the Libertarian Party, as you well know, has been around for, you know, 30 or 40 years in the United States. What is it going to take for people to kind of perk up their ears and give it a little bit more attention? It remains sort of, you know, a distant third.
Right. You know, it's going to be difficult so long as we have the two-party stranglehold. I mean, attention spans are not getting longer. They're getting shorter. We've got more noise to cut through in the modern, you know, in modern media. I think that we have an opportunity with the Trump-Clinton likely nomination. And it's one of those rare times where people are so fed up with the current, with status quo, with the two main parties, that they're actively looking for alternatives. And so this is the time for libertarians to really get out there in a big way. Other than that, we have to continue to increase our grassroots efforts and to speak to people and the pain that they're feeling economically. I think that the anger that we're seeing amongst the voters, everybody from people who back Bernie Sanders to people who are backing Donald Trump, is coming from economic pain. It's coming from flat wages, stagnant economy, and inflating cost of living. And when people start to really feel that economic pressure and it's just not going away, you know, we had the promise in 2008 that we're going to do these bailouts and we have a new president and the economy is going to get better. None of that stuff happened. And so people are looking for solutions.
Yeah.
And this is the opportunity for libertarians to explain our solution is the right solution.
Sure.
It's going to result in, you know, prosperity.
It's paradoxical, though. Look, we have, on the one hand, we've got people that are rallying to Bernie Sanders.
Right.
And they're saying, we need to tax the wealthy more, right?
Right.
We need to rein in Wall Street. That's his. If you look at the polls, some polls say he will beat any of the three current remaining Republican candidates. Then you go over to the Republican side, and you got Donald Trump. He's talking about borders. He's talking about chastising other countries that are doing better than we are in trade. And that's resonating on that side. I mean, there's an angry, you know, response on both sides. So isn't it sort of funny that people are upset, but they don't know how to respond to their anger?
Yeah, you know, they just don't, they got the problem right. The problem is growing capitalism, it's the banks, it's, you know, it's bad monetary policy, it's bad regulation. They get the problem right. What they don't understand is the right solution. And
right.
That's where we have to step in and say, okay, you don't want somebody like Donald Trump just coming in and by fiat trying to control our economy. That's going to backfire.
Yeah. I mean, that, you know, whenever you look at somebody that says, listen to me, I will lead you out. I hate to say this, but I have visions of World War II and a few people that were trying to do that in certain countries. Right. And it's scary. I mean, people get upset and then their eyes, their emotions take over and their eyes tend to close a little bit as to what is happening, you know.
Right.
And, you know, it's like the libertarian message is clear. The libertarian message of less government and more individual freedom, you know, should resonate with people. You would think with people that think, you know, I want to have personal freedom. Well, what goes on? Why not? You know,
it's too abstract. You know, it's when people are suffering and they're being told, I will save you, I'll protect you, I will make your life better. That's very seductive. You know, people aren't always necessarily.
Well, that's a nanny
that
state.
Rational.
That's a nanny state philosophy, though, right? It's like,
right.
I can't do it myself. I'm helpless. Therefore, somebody, some group needs to take control.
Right. You know, and so you've got to break through that that emotion and appeal to their sense of possibility. And that's what I like about libertarianism is that you're telling people, like, look, you don't have to wait around for somebody to come over and pick you up. You can do it for yourself. You have all this possibility in front of you. You have life in front of you. And all you have to do is say, yes, that's what I want. I want to be a business owner. I want to, you know, chase my dreams and be wealthy or be an artist. And you can't do that in a controlled environment. You have to have the freedom to go and pursue your dream.
You're right.
And that's what libertarianism is about.
Now, we had Rand Paul and Ron Paul. I mean, both of them are well known. I know they run on the Republican ticket, but they're a libertarian by nature. Why wouldn't a guy like Rand Paul, for instance, in the environment we have today, why didn't he make a bigger dent?
Yeah, it was a little disappointing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think
to be honest,
he was having trouble. Yeah, I think he was having trouble, again, really articulating that message. He was getting swallowed by, you know, the anger, talking about immigration, talking about people's fear when it comes to terrorism. And, you know, he's standing up there saying things that were correct about, you know, privacy and the overreach of the military. And he was getting attacked by, you know, statists like Chris Christie and Donald mm-hmm. Trump. And people are afraid.
Yeah.
So I think that's why it gets swallowed up. It isn't necessarily, libertarianism isn't necessarily the easy answer that people want to hear.
Yeah, yeah. Now, again, well, immigration, indeed, is a big issue. The wall is resonating, as we know. And, you know, libertarians tend to shy away from that. But it's hard for people right now, I think, to maybe accept the concept of open borders. They see some of the trouble. How do you look at that situation? As a libertarian, that issue.
You know, I agree with you. It's hard for people to accept the concept of open borders. I don't think we should push for open borders as a party, at least at this moment. We have too much welfare. And so it's, you know, and that's a legitimate complaint about the open borders idea, is that we've got welfare and we have national security interests, and we should consider both of those as being important as well. I am in favor of having an easier, streamlined work visa program that allows for more of a free movement of labor. I've been through the immigration process. I'm pretty familiar with it because, you know, when I was in college, before I became a lawyer, I actually worked for the immigration court.
Okay.
And my husband is an immigrant, so we've been through the green card process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's,
don't you think if we could speed that up, maybe it would have helped all of this? I think, you know, when people are told to wait years and years to get in, and then all these people sneak through, right?
Yes, yes, exactly. The incentives are towards making illegal immigration. You know, people are coming here because there's jobs, there's opportunity, and we should celebrate that. So let's make it legal so that we stop having problems with crime.
Alicia, it was great talking with you. You sound like you make a lot of sense, and I'm going to wish you the very best in your chances for becoming the candidate for vice president for the Libertarian Party.
Thank you.
Our pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
You're more than welcome. Maybe we'll talk again down the road. All right. Alicia Dern. There we go. Going to take a break. When we come back, lots more to talk about. What about this Confederate monument dedicated to Kentuckians that they're going to move out?
is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you looking for the best selection of firearms in North Pinellas County? Well, you'll find it at Arms for Defense. Arms for Defense in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580 in Clearwater. It is just west of Highway US 19 and the Countryside Mall. Paul, the owner, will make sure you get exactly the gun that you need. And at Arms for Defense, they specialize in home and personal carry firearms, including CZ handguns and the complete line of Glock and Springfield Armory guns. You'll also get the training you need at a great indoor training range. Arms for Defense in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580, just west of Highway US 19. Call 727-375-GUNS. That's 727-375-4867.
Coming up Monday on the Rocket Sports and Entertainment Network show, the NFL draft is over. The Bucs got their man Vernon Hargreaves in round one. We'll break down everything that happened in rounds 2 through 7 for the Buccaneers. The Lightning and Islanders game 2 was on Saturday night. We'll break down that as well. Rick is back in studio after filling in on Friday. Rick will be back as we prepare for game 3 of the Eastern Conference semifinals between the Lightning and Islanders. All that and more, afternoons 2 to 4, here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
Hey everyone, guess who's coming back? It's Mama J Speaks and Mama K coming back on Thursdays, 8 to 9 p.m. We're going to be here to massage your hearts and minds with gallons of soul laughter. Tune in Thursdays, 8 to 9 p.m. on WTAN 1340 AM, the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Dum, 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 dum,
Hey, we're back, and I want to remind you, we are sponsored in part by Andrew the Master Barber. His great barbershop located in the Columbia Plaza, State Road 580, just west of 19 and the Countryside Mall. It's the best haircut you're going to get in North Pinellas County. That is a fact. And for my money, it's the best in Tampa Bay. And a great price. And Andrew and Candy will make sure they cut your hair exactly the way you want. It's also a great experience. And if you listen to our show, you know Andrew is an energetic man. He likes Donald Trump, yeah. But you know what? It's a barbershop where you get in there, you just relax. It's like those barbershops, if you remember them way back. You go in there, you talk some shop. It's a real barbershop. You know, not one of these salons where you go in and you feel like you're going to have to drop $45 to get a haircut. No way. Great price. Great experience. Andrew the Master Barber, Columbia Plaza on State Road 580. Hours, Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30. Saturday, 8:30 to 2. Closed today, Monday. And remember, if you like our show, you will love Andrew the Master Barber. Well, I mean, what is going on? A Confederate monument is going to be removed from a spot near the University of Louisville campus where it has been standing since 1895. It's a stone monument, sort of an obelisk. It honors Kentuckians who fought in the Civil War. They're going to move it. Surprise announcement. University President James Ramsey and the mayor of Louisville, Greg Fisher, jointly made the announcement on Friday. By the way, the monument is capped with a statue of a Confederate soldier. I remember seeing it somewhere. It's a very inspirational monument. Here's Ramsey. It's time for us to move this monument to a more appropriate place. In other words, it's not politically correct to have the tribute to the Confederate soldiers that fought in Kentucky. Now, governments and this isn't the only place where this is going on. Governments and universities across the country have been reevaluating displays of Confederate symbols. But this one's really, you know, it's not like, what is racist about it, I guess is what I'm asking, you know? Can't you honor people that fought in the Civil War on both sides? Why don't we tear down all the monuments of anybody North or South that fought? And we'll tear down the Abraham Lincoln statue as well, since that was during the Civil War. Now, Ricky Jones, a professor of Pan-African Studies at Louisville, said he's been pushing for removal of this statue since he arrived at the university in the 1990s. He says, I can't tell you how happy I am. I think this statue being on campus, somewhat akin to flying the Confederate flag over the university's administration building. Well, I think this is going too far, but it's been going on. And we're going to start removing General Robert E. Lee statues and probably anybody that had anything to do with the South, no matter what they're, you know, they might have been very anti-slavery, but apparently they're going to be swept up. Because it was more than, remember, the Civil War was more than slavery. Slavery was a big part of it, no question about it. And we have a right to discuss that. It was very wrong. But it was also, if you remember, it was the textile world of the South and the industrial world, the ships and the, everything else of the North. So there was problems with taxes. There was issues with with commerce between those two. Meantime, at least I think this is good news. The Supreme Court says Texas and its voter ID law are fine. Nothing wrong with them. It'll remain in effect. The Supreme Court on Friday denied a request to listen to an argument against the Texas ID law. Now in Texas, you got to prove who you are. I think you have to have a voter a picture on your ID. And that was challenged. And actually the law and the challenge are still pending in a federal court. But the immediate issue was whether it could be enforced until the legal issues are resolved. In other words, here comes the November elections and we still got this thing going on. Now, Texas has one of the strictest ID laws in the country. It requires voters to provide government-issued photo IDs in order to cast a ballot. Now, your driver's license is a government-issued ID, the state of Texas. But you didn't just have to have a driver's license. You can show something else as long as it was a government approved ID. Opponents say, well, this is unfair to minorities. Why can't they go and find an ID? You know, and the argument that you can't use an ID kind of falls apart when you realize that people use credit cards all the time. You know. They can't just walk in and get something and claim that they're who they say they are. They got to show a credit card. They got to run the credit card through. A state official say, you know, what is the big deal? There have been no problems with minorities getting to vote. There are not large numbers of voters being turned away. Anyway, I think that's good news. Now, speaking about, and we did it for a while there in our interview with Alicia Dern, the immigration problem. Did you know that illegals are getting more money than Social Security retirees on average? That's what it's become here. President Obama has budgeted about $18,000 for each of the estimated 75,000 Central American teens expected to illegally cross into America this year. That's about $2,900, almost $3,000 more than the average annual Social Security retirement benefit. Wow. The total bill to taxpayers, $1.3 billion in benefits to what they call unaccompanied children. That's more than double what the federal government spent in 2010, according to an analysis of the programs for illegal minors. Now, the average Social Security retirement benefit per year is about $15,000. So there you go. This is like $17,700. I don't think that makes too much sense. But that's where we are with benefits. Of course, as a libertarian, I'm not sure that the federal government should be involved in any retirement benefits. I'd give back all of the money to people under a certain age that they put in and give them interest on it as well. And then after a certain age, you can continue on Social Security. But before that certain age, you're on your own. Do the best you can. Invest it. You'd make a lot more money investing it in the stock market, in mutual funds, than you will getting it in Social Security. That is for sure. Well, we mentioned this a little earlier. There is a Cuban-American filmmaker. His name is Agustin Blanquez. He's an American citizen now. He said he never thought his native Cuba would become a communist country at the time. But he sees the same problem, the same kind of environment, same kind of radical shift occurring in the United States. And he says the left has been very clever by using very non-threatening words like liberal, progressive, concerned citizens. But what they're doing is they're advancing control of Americans' lives. He said this is what happened in Cuba. Now, it happened more violently in Cuba. It happened more, obviously, more rapidly in Cuba. But he says it's happening here, all the same. And he says, watching American people, especially young people, embrace Bernie Sanders, an avowed socialist, for president, strikes him as absurd. You know, it used to be, boy, when I was growing up, a socialist was akin to a communist. You know, they had no idea what they would do to our country if socialism, you know, we knew what socialism was doing at that time in China and in Russia. And, of course, in Cuba, right? We could see what it was doing to the people. We could see it. We could see the suffering that they were having. We remembered when they walled off half of Germany. And those people in the east side run by the Soviets. And how sad it was for them. And yet, over the generations, socialism is becoming more and more accepted. And anyway, this filmmaker, again, Agustin Blanquez, said when Barack went over to Cuba, he said it made him want to throw up. He said this was a betrayal to victims of communism. And he talked about all of the people that were in prison in Cuba today, you know, still suffering. Anyway, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, we got a lot more to talk about. And we got a great top 10. The top 10 worst song titles. These are great. Wait till you hear them.
I like the way you walk. I like the way you talk. Let me hold your hand. Try to understand.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Gentlemen, if you're looking for the best haircut at the best price in Tampa Bay, look no further than Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580. That's just west of US 19 in Clearwater. Andrew and Candy will see to it that you get exactly the cut you want. And if you remember how the barbershop used to be, where you were as much as a friend as a customer, then this is the place for you. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580, just west of US 19. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2.
Coming up Monday on the Rocket Sports and Entertainment Network show, the NFL draft is over. The Bucs got their man Vernon Hargreaves in round one. We'll break down everything that happened in rounds 2 through 7 for the Buccaneers. The Lightning and Islanders game 2 was on Saturday night. We'll break down that as well. Rick is back in studio after filling in on Friday. Rick will be back as we prepare for game 3 of the Eastern Conference semifinals between the Lightning and Islanders. All that and more, afternoons 2 to 4, here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, did you know there's a live psychology talk show 3 days a week, Monday, Thursday, and Friday at noon, where you can call in and get free guidance and also learn several different topics relating to ending the stigma on mental health? It's called Moments of Clarity on WTAN 1340 AM. It's with licensed therapist Tiffany Warner, who will try to end the stigma on mental health. But the only way you can do that is to listen to Moments of Clarity 3 days a week, Monday, Thursday, and Friday at noon on WTAN 1340 AM, the Tan Talk Radio Network.
I'm Stephen Pearson, and I'm inviting you inside the Tech Boardroom, where we will talk all things technology and business, focusing on news, technology, and current events that can affect your business technologies. I'm your host, Stephen Pearson. Tune into my show on Saturdays at 9 a.m. for discussions, situations, and solutions, and a wrap-up of this week in technology. Bring your problems and challenges businesses are facing today, and bring it inside the Tech Boardroom, Saturdays at 9 a.m. here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
You made me cry when you said goodbye.
Hey, we're back. And I want to remind you, we're sponsored in part by Arms for Defense. You want the best gun at the best price? Well, for the best gun at the best price and the best selection of guns and ammo in the countryside area of Clearwater, it is Arms for Defense. It's located in the Columbia Plaza, just down the sidewalk from Andrew's Magic Master Barbershop. They specialize in home, car, and personal carry firearms. That includes CZ handguns and the entire line of Glock and Springfield Armory guns. Owner Paul will make sure that you get the perfect firearm for your own special needs, and he will see to it you are properly trained. They have a great indoor training facilities. Ladies and families are welcome. And just Google Arms for Defense, and you'll find out a little bit more about how well they are rated. They get a rating of 4.7 out of 5, and you cannot beat that. Believe me. Arms for Defense in the Columbia Plaza. Just call 727-375-GUNS. That's 727-375-GUNS. Arms for defense. Well, as if we didn't know this already, Americans wondering why their health care insurance premiums and their deductibles are going up. Well, a new study by Blue Cross Blue Shield says that people who enrolled in the Blue Cross Blue Shield insurance after Obamacare became law had higher rates of disease than those who had been enrolled before. So what they're trying to say is the reason that our rates in general for health insurance are higher today is because the people that are starting to enroll now were those that had a lot more medical needs and are using the services a lot more. Well, that makes perfect sense. And this is why the cost is going up for everybody. And the findings apparently underscore the need to take a look at options that are different than having the government run your health care. Because when you have the government running your health care, it's an unfair redistribution of services and an unfair redistribution of prices. If you're really poor, you're going to get basically free health care. If you're middle class, you're screwed. You're going to have a higher deductible and you're going to be paying more every month for your health insurance. That's just the way it goes. We get back to the free market, we get back to competition, the prices will inevitably go down, but you got to get the government out of it. And sooner or later, we always learn the hard way. Now, got a couple of things on our good friend Hillary Clinton. First of all, she's been talking, as you know, about equal pay for equal women. Well, male executives at their Clinton Foundation get 38% more than women executives. Now, that's not very smart. Why would you pay your men more than women? Their 2013 IRS report shows that nearly three times as many men as women occupy the Clinton Foundation executive suites in Arkansas. On average, the males in the foundation earn about $109,000 more than the female execs. Well, so much for equal pay for equal work as far as that goes, right? Also, State Department officials have removed files from Clinton's office related to the Benghazi attack in Libya and moved them to another department. This after receiving a subpoena from Congress last spring. Now, that's a little sneaky. Attorneys for the State Department said the folders, they were electronic folders, they contained documents related to Benghazi and Libya. They said they were, quote, belatedly rediscovered at the end of last year. They said the files had been overlooked by the State Department people because the executive secretary's office transferred them to another department and flagged them for archiving last April. That was after getting a subpoena to show them. Well, there you go. So much for transparency as far as our friend Hillary Clinton is concerned. Now, we've talked from time to time about what I think are terrible are these agencies that are in the executive department. They're under the president, but they start taking on power of their own, which is very scary. They are not beholden to the voters. The three Democrats on the Federal Election Commission, in their latest and boldest move to regulate conservative media, have voted in unison to punish a movie maker that is critical of Obama after he distributed for free his book, Dreams of My Real Father, A Story of Reds and Deception. Filmmaker Joel Gilbert has produced several independent politically themed movies and had sent Dreams out to millions of voters in key swing states. The FEC did not like that. While he acted on his own with no ties to political groups, an FEC complaint was filed claiming he violated reporting rules. Now, the FEC gave the same exemption to Michael Moore and Daily Kos, the Democrats recently, for their movies that would come up during periods where there were elections. But apparently, this guy and his latest work, Dreams of My Real Father, A Story of Reds and Deception, is not going to get the same treatment. But fortunately for this guy, Gilbert, there are three Republicans on the election committee, and they voted against the Democrats. So what happened? A tie. And the tie vote blocked any action at all. So I guess that is good news for them. But, you know, it's another way of squelching conservative communication, just like the IRS tried to do, right, with those conservative organizations. Anyway, it is time. I think this is a great one. Wake up, Chris. We got a good one here. This is our top 10, and these are the worst song titles. Now, there's horrible songs.
Well, now we got to do one that's in worst movie titles.
We'll have to do that. Actually, that would be interesting, the worst movie titles. I can't even think of any right now.
Oh, I'm sure we could probably get a few.
Well, I'm going to wonder. Some of these I can't even give you the full, quite frankly, we'll have to bleep them out.
Really?
So, yeah, they're that bad.
Wow.
But these are this is according to Latina.com. There's so many bad song titles, but these are their top 10 worst. Are you ready? Here we go. Number 10. And Jennifer Lopez, it's a Jennifer Lopez song. It's called I Lie Ya, Pappy. I Lie Ya.
L-U-H-Y-A-P-A-P-I. I love you, Pappy. It sounds like she's been on a bender when she decided to go into a studio and record. Okay. Number nine. I'm sure you have this one in your collection. Ricky Martin's song, She Bangs. She Bangs. A wonderful song.
We'll just leave it at that.
We are. And wait till you hear the next one. Number eight. Have you ever heard of Enrique Iglesias?
I have.
Did you know he wrote sang a song called Tonight I'm Effing You?
Yep.
Did ya?
Yep. What's funny is it's actually on the radio, and they changed that to Loving. So it's Tonight
That's
I'm
right.
Loving You.
You are right about that. Okay, well, there you go. No further words necessary. Number seven. You ever hear of a group called Wisin, W-I-S-I-N?
No.
I haven't either. But they did sing a song called Baby Danger.
Oh.
Baby Danger. Yeah, ew. That's not politically correct. Baby Danger.
No. Stranger Danger.
Stranger Danger you can get away with. But Baby Danger?
No, that's tough.
No. Number six. You ever heard of Prince Royce?
Negative.
Negative? You ever heard of a song called Rock the Pants?
This is fantastic.
Rock the Pants.
No,
I
gotta
hear
not.
That song.
Yes,
just
you
hear,
do. Let's get what's the guy's name again? Prince Royce.
Prince Royce. R O I C.
Right, we'll find
the Pants. We'll have to open the show someday with Rock the Pants. Let's see how far we get before we're closed.
Sure.
Down. All right. Number five. You ever heard of a group called Pitbull?
Yeah, it's an individual.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, he's so big, he looks like. Anyway, did you know he wrote sings a song called Choo Choo Cha? Spelled T-C-H-U, T-C-H-U, T-C-H-A, choo-choo-cha.
No.
Sounds like a train.
And I know a lot of Pitbull
of
songs.
Tunnel.
Yeah, sure it does.
Choo-choo-cha. All right, number four. I'm going to say the name of this even though maybe I shouldn't. Miguel, you ever heard of Miguel?
Yes.
Pussy Is Mine.
Okay.
That's it. All right, number three.
All right.
Kid Cudi. Have you heard of Kid Cudi?
Yes.
Have you heard of Cutter Is Back?
No.
Well, maybe because the song title was so lousy, it didn't go very far. Cutter Is Back. C-U-D-D-E-R-I-S-B-A-C-K. So Cutter Is Back.
That's not very good.
No. Number two. Well, even I have heard of the Black Eyed Peas.
Okay.
Don't Funk With My Heart.
Yes. That was a...
Don't Funk With My Heart.
Late, early 2000s?
Uh-huh. Well, it's number two on this. That's pretty good. Okay. And finally, the number one worst song title of all time. Have you ever heard of a group or maybe a person, Koshkaluela?
Wait for it.
Yeah, Koshkaluela. Koshkaluela. Have you ever heard of them?
No.
Okay. Well, I'm sure that I mispronounced the name. That's why you probably never heard of it. Well, anyway, Koshkaluela came up with a song called Prum. P-R-R-R-U-M, Prum. The only thing I can think of is somebody really inebriated says, where are you from? I'm Prum, Chicago. That's about as close as I can get to whatever. What do you think Prum means? P-R-R-R-U-M. Is that the back? Is that the sound of an exhaust pipe on a motorcycle, maybe?
It could be.
Ah, okay.
I don't know.
Well, I'm milking it because we have to take a little time here. We have to leave. But my friends, do not buy those songs because they have horrible titles. Anyway, have a wonderful Monday, and we're back Wednesday. Freedom works.
Oh, that's funny.
I like the way you walk. I like the way you talk. Let me hold your hand. Try to understand. I want a girl.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
A sick day for teachers. Indiana Primary Prep. I'm Evan Haining. All but three of Detroit's public schools are closed today. Correspondent Joe Ramsey reports on the massive teacher sick out.
Thousands of teachers called in sick after learning their salaries for work in May and June could not be guaranteed. While the Michigan legislature funded salaries through the end of the fiscal year on June 30th, there's a shortage for teachers opting to spread out their paychecks throughout the year and continue receiving them in the summer.
Donald Trump says he's confident he'll win Tuesday's Republican primary in Indiana.
If we win Indiana, it's over, okay? And then we can focus on crooked Hillary. Please, let's focus on Hillary.
Democrat Bernie Sanders has focused on Hillary Clinton. Sanders promises the Democrats' convention will be contested. Ted Cruz and John Kasich are hoping the Republican convention will also be open. CSX now says some 16 cars were involved in this weekend's derailment in the nation's capital. Some of them were carrying ethanol and other substances. I'm Evan Haining. Mega pop star Prince left an estimated $300 million when he died. Correspondent Stephanie Elam says there will be a probate hearing today on how to divide the estate.
This is the first step in...